Okay, welcome to our movies podcast. We're going to be talking about a few movies today. First up is American Teen, and then also My Dinner with Andre. So to begin with, here's my fellow viewing partner. You want to be referred to by name? No. Oh, it doesn't matter, I guess.
You can call me Pablo.
Okay.
And I will call you...
I'm just John.
Just John.
Yeah.
Just John.
I think you should do a recap of exactly what this is about.
Okay, so we're talking about two movies today. First movie is going to be American Teen. Really well received at Sundance. It's a documentary about five Indiana teens from the city of, was it Warsaw, Indiana? Just follows their lives around. And I think they're junior or senior year of high school.
Senior year.
And there are five main characters. Hannah, artsy girl. Megan, the hot rich girl. Colin is a jock basketball player who's trying to get a scholarship to big school. Jake, who's kind of a nerd, band geek. And Mitch, who is also another basketball player who has a short romance with Hannah.
Okay, so basically, we had all had some interest in watching the movie, and our friend had actually recommended it to me and burned me a copy of the DVD to watch. And so we're all trying to watch this, but then, maybe 30 minutes in, we kind of decided it sucked and wanted to turn it off.
Yeah, what happened there?
It just wasn't very appealing. Basically, the movie, it was like a documentary, but right off the bat, it seemed like it was fake. In fact, we were looking online to see if it was like a mockumentary instead of an actual documentary because it just seemed too fake. The lines were a little bit too rehearsed almost and very cliche.
Right. It seemed like it was staged or maybe scripted.
Yeah. And people, they were kind of just saying really stereotypical things. And it's like, pretty girl said the pretty girl thing. Jock was like, oh, I'm a nice guy, blah, blah, blah. And indie girl was like, oh, I'm different than everybody else. Nobody gets me, all this kind of stuff. And even though it was shot like a documentary, it was very just like, it seemed faked and produced.
Right, this is one of those situations where it's like you're watching a documentary that's just emulating a sitcom version of life. And it didn't feel like we were watching real life. It felt like something that they would put on MTV that kids would want to watch because they could relate to these, you know, stereotypical caricatures of how people actually are.
So, okay, see, here's the problem is that I feel like we watch too much. Like, for example, do you watch Laguna Beach or OC? You don't watch this stuff.
Pablo, yes.
You do?
I do.
Oh, so you know.
No, I watch CLC. I've seen, you know, we've all grown up watching 90210. So, I mean, are those even the same genre anymore?
But 90210 is like strictly fake, whereas the OC is like faux fake. It's like it's real, like the events are real, but it's staged. But somehow that seems more real than this.
Wait, the OC?
Yeah. Oh, no, not the OC, I'm sorry.
The Hills.
The Hills and Huntington Beach? What is it? What show is it? The Hills.
The Hills and...
The one with Elsie and Kristen Conrad or whatever. Yeah. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, right.
So like their reality shows, like, that seems real because these kids, even though they're saying sort of the same sort of topics, they're not talking like movie characters. Do you agree?
I do, but I think that's something that is characteristic of almost all reality TV now, is that when you watch even a cooking show, you know, stuff on Bravo and the Food Network, it's like if they're on Top Chef, they're creating drama to make the show interesting. And let's face it, I mean, real life in general, unless you have a bunch of really interesting people around, it's boring. So, you know, it seems like producers often have a hand in creating these situations to create dramatics, to create drama that's entertaining.
Wait, did you even connect with any of the characters or the situations or like feel like they're straight stereotypes?
I think... The towards the second half of the movie, I started to get more into the story. One thing that took me out of it was those cut scenes where they would they'd have a character kind of talking about their aspirations, their hopes and dreams. And then during this voiceover, they'd have this like kind of animated, cartoonish skit based on the character. So the Dan guy was really into video games, so they had this like Zelda version of his dream kind of played out.
It was really bad animation.
Yeah, in CGI version, and it was really cheesy, and it took you out of the story. You know, there's already a kind of a weak, realistic feel to begin with, and then adding this kind of layer of fantasy on top of it, just, I don't know, it ruined it for me. How did you feel about that?
Yeah, I think it's a really bad choice, because they're essentially just trying to do a voiceover, but not over anything interesting, and the animation was way too fake. And there's one in particular where it was Hannah's voiceover, I think.
Yeah.
And the animation was almost scary. And right. So it totally took you out of the film, because it's like this realistic sort of, you know, stuff. And then all of a sudden, just animation of her, like, diving into, I don't know, some dark abyss or something like that. I don't know.
Right, because Hannah was
she's the artsy one.
She's artsy. She's also been diagnosed with bipolar disorder or manic depression. Or is that just her mother? Her mother's manic depressive.
Her mom is manic depressive. Well, I missed the middle of the movie, so I can't say.
Okay, so she lives with her grandparents, her grandmother.
Right.
And her dad is out of the state working somewhere else. And her mother was in an institution of some kind, or, you know, she couldn't live with them because she was depressed. So, I don't remember if they actually said that Hannah herself had been diagnosed. I think she was.
Oh, she was.
Yeah, I think she was.
Runs in the family.
Yeah. So I think they took some liberty in, interpretive liberty in creating this kind of imagery that, I don't know, like, it seems out of place in a movie, like, in a film like this, where you're trying to create a, you know, a portrait of someone.
Generally, I think it's just a poorly made documentary.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen, like, even, like, Spellbound. Like, I've seen stuff, like, with kids who are around that age who are able to kind of talk about it and articulate certain things. But this was it's just poorly made. The cuts were kind of weird, the way it was set up. Like, you never really got enough of a sense of who these kids were, or even exactly, like, what they were doing, because they'd be doing something for, like, 10 minutes, and then it would cut.
That bothered me, too, was the aggressive cutting. They wouldn't let a scene play out long enough so that you could actually understand the context. But they wanted to, you know, design the situation or portray a situation in a real, you know, artificial way.
We could have done a better job.
I think so. But yeah, it just seems like they cut everything in a way that was really manipulative.
Yeah.
So we never really understood what was going on. They would just have like somebody, and they do this, I think they do this on The Hills a lot, is like they'll just have somebody having a look. Or like saying two words, and you could, outside of the context of like, you know, 5 minute,
you can interpret it to anything.
Yeah, you could just cut that in anywhere, and like, so. Since it fails as a documentary for me.
Why do you think it did so well at Sundance? Is one of the questions you had asked.
I don't know.
Because Sundance is stupid. No.
I'm gonna guess that. You know, Sundance is a largely European audience, or it's an international audience, and I think movies that are critical of American society or American lifestyle probably, you know, cater to that crowd, and having an American director make a movie that's self-deprecating in that sense is. It's appealing to that audience. I don't know.
Do you remember that movie? There's a French movie, like The Class, is also a documentary.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I mean, I actually didn't watch it. I wanted to watch it, but it was like a documentary about one specific class in France with the teacher and the students. I heard that was like much better than this one because they came out around the same time, and they're saying that this was sort of weak, like generic version, whereas the French one was really good. So we really should have just watched the French one.
Yeah, I wanted to see that too. Even though, you know. Like it seemed like it was a French version of Dangerous Minds, with what was her face, Coolio and Michelle Pfeiffer, right? So, which wasn't a terrible movie, but
I never saw it.
Oh well, then we won't talk about it. Yeah, so we'll watch that for the next podcast and talk about it.
Which of these characters would you actually have hung out with? Or do you, okay, in retrospect, in high school, would you ever want to hang out with any of them?
I think I would have really wanted to be friends with Hannah.
Because she was cool.
She was cool. I mean, she was into, you know, she was in a film. She was in the art, photography, music, and...
Oh, the other thing is that this high school is entirely white.
Yeah.
Everybody's white.
There was one black kid. He was on the basketball team. And he was friends with Mitch and Colin.
Right. But it's pretty much all white, so it was a little bit... Diversity was not so high.
Right.
But Hannah was like the outcast because she kind of was the only artsy one, essentially. Right?
Well...
One of the few.
Right.
And then, would you have hung out with the dork guy?
Yeah, I probably would have known him, being a former orchestra member myself.
That's true. And then we were watching the after interview, and like the dork went to college, and he went to the gym, he got buff, he cleaned up his acne, and he came back, and he actually became like cool, like immediately after like 1 year, right?
Yeah, they had those, they interviewed them after the film had debuted in Sundance. I think they flew the cast members out to Sundance, and they all had, I mean, I guess that's a different situation than high school, but they all became friends. Pretty close friends in that situation. I don't know if that translates to real life.
And now the two basketball players kind of look like schmucks.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, yeah. And also just sort of they don't seem like they have much personality.
Yeah, I mean, well, Mitch is he's like pre-med or something. And he came off as a really nice guy, you know, and he...
But he dumped the girl via text message.
Yeah.
Hannah went out for like 2 seconds. And then he dumped her via text message because she was too weird for him. And the peer pressure got to him.
Yeah, that was a dick move.
That was a dick move.
But again, I feel like we really didn't get to hear his thoughts on why he dumped her. I mean, they didn't ever talk about it. And a lot of it was outside perception, you know.
So we're being manipulated.
I don't know. But it could be because they asked Megan why... They broke up, and Megan thought that it was because Mitch was succumbing to peer pressure. But I don't think they ever really asked Mitch about it. Oh. And Mitch and Hannah never really had a sit-down. And that would have been interesting, you know? Like, where's that footage?
They didn't show anything. Yeah. And apparently they followed, like, 15 kids around. And this is the most interesting of the group. Actually, not the most interesting. They just chose the stereotypes that fit.
Mm.
Because they followed 15 kids around throughout the whole year. But these are the 5 kids they selected.
Mm-hmm.
And generally speaking, they just went for the most boring archetypes we had. Right?
Well, do you think this movie... So this movie was... Is this movie marketed toward American teenagers?
Yes. No?
Yeah.
Who else would watch it?
That's what I find interesting. They set out to make a Midwest version of The Hills.
Yeah, maybe that's why people liked it, because it wasn't The Hills and these kids weren't glamorous. But at the same time, they were not boring per se, but like they were a little boring, except for Hannah.
I mean, I think they definitely dealt with a lot of issues that teens are dealing with today. And, you know, they had this situation where a girl... emailed her, was it her boyfriend, a picture of herself topless.
Oh, I didn't watch that.
You missed that part. Okay, so what happens is this girl emails...
Vanessa Hudgens. You know who that is? She emailed pictures of herself from High School Musical. She emailed, like, topless photos of herself to her boyfriend, also from High School Musical.
Oh.
It was a calculated ploy, marketing, hypothetically.
Oh, just to get them more publicity. Exposure?
Yeah. But this girl just did it to me.
Have you seen this picture?
I can't say. For research purposes? I actually have. I have seen it. I have seen them. They're online. I have. It's true.
Are they scandalous? I mean, how would you...
I
mean,
I don't know. They're blocked out. It's just... I mean, she was like... The other thing is that she was like 17 at the time.
Okay.
So it's actually like pornography.
It's child pornography.
Yeah. But, you know, they're out there.
Okay.
If you want to take a look.
I do not. I would never be interested in anything like that.
Do you want to move on to our next movie?
Let's do that, yeah.
So basically, we're just saying, don't watch American Teen.
Okay, yeah.
Is that what we're saying?
I think, not having seen The Class, I would just recommend watching The Class.
Okay.